So yet again, this week we have skipped through the rest of the life of another king. We've hit some of the big names in the last few weeks, Saul and David and Solomon. And now we find ourselves in the time of King Ahab. King Ahab ruled after the split of the kingdom into northern and southern kingdoms. And Ahab is the king of the northern kingdom. He is married, rather scandalously, to a foreigner. Her name is Jezebel, and she is a priestess of and worships the god Baal. Now, our story doesn't really focus much on Ahab, except for the fact that Elijah, the revered prophet, has run into the wilderness because Ahab's wife, Jezebel, has threatened his life. Of course, Elijah did just prove the God of Israel more powerful than Baal. He went up against 450 prophets of Baal, and it was Elijah, and they both were praying, and Elijah creates signs and wonders, and then very promptly slays all 450 prophets of Baal. He's quite zealous and always has been, but now, under Jezebel's threats, Elijah runs for his life. Pretty far away, too. He flees the entire length of the country of Israel to Beersheba, and then goes even further into the wilderness. He obviously feels quite alone, rather sorry for himself right now, since we're told that he sits down under a solitary broom tree, even the tree is alone, and he asks that God would now let him die. He says, "It is enough now, O God." I don't think it's a huge stretch for most of us to understand to some extent what it is, some of those feelings that Elijah is feeling, loneliness and despair and hopelessness. Elijah had reached a point where he felt like it would just really be okay if it was his time to die. And we know, or maybe we ourselves have reached that point, struggling that much with desperation and hopelessness that we wonder why we should continue living. Indeed, living can be very hard. And then on the opposite side of the coin, I know people who have made peace. They feel like they've lived a long and happy life, and they are ready to die. As Elijah lays there under that broom tree, despairing, an angel comes to him. God, in the form of an angel, giving him food and drink, nourishment that will carry him a little bit farther to where God is leading him. He's not quite yet ready to die. And so he eats and drinks, and then goes 40 days and 40 nights on that nourishment, all the way to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb, you may remember, is exactly the place where Moses meets God in the burning bush. And so now Elijah finds himself here, ready for a little FaceTime with God as well. When God appears, he asks Elijah a question. A question, which is a little out of character for God, because usually God is the one answering questions rather than asking them. But God gives Elijah this space. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" To which he responds in anguish, "I have been zealous for you, and now I am alone, and they are trying to kill me." And then this might be perhaps the most familiar part of the story for you. There is wind that breaks the rock, and God is not in the wind. And then there is an earthquake, but God is not in the earthquake. And there is fire, but God is not in the fire. Even though in the Hebrew scriptures up to now, God is very often found in pillars of smoke and fire and clouds, wind and rain. God uses these elements, but for Elijah, God is absent in these things. And then there is what is described in some translations as a still small voice, and in a more recent translation, sheer silence. And God is in the silence. And then God speaks again, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" The same question, to which Elijah gives the same answer because he still feels the same way. "I have been so zealous for you, but now I am alone and they are trying to kill me." Elijah has an experience that many of us saints can relate to here, I think, that of the absence of God. While there are times when I myself am sure and certain of God's presence around me, there are also times when I really struggle to feel it. I learned this week, Mother Teresa once wrote to a bishop who was a confidant of hers. She wrote to him saying, "Jesus has a very special love for you. But as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear." You see, it's a normal thing for those who are living to have times when they struggle with their faith. Elijah felt so alone he wanted to die. And Mother Teresa, known as one of the greatest living saints of our time, already canonized into the Roman Catholic sainthood, she referred to Jesus as the absent one. Elijah, in his moment of spiritual grief, complains to God that he is utterly alone. Sadly for Elijah, God's response is not, I think, what Elijah was hoping for. God does not say to Elijah, "Oh, it's okay. You have been zealous. You can take some time now. Maybe retire. Take some time for yourself." Sadly, not God's style. Instead, God responds to Elijah's plea by saying, "I have something for you to do." You see, as we take this moment today to memorialize the saints that have gone before us, we are also called to remember that we are the living saints. And for the living saints here on earth, the kingdom of God is at hand. And when we are ready, and probably more often when we're not ready, when we go to God and say, "I really feel like I'm the last one working for your team here," God says, "Ah, I have something for you to do." And the things that Elijah was sent to do connected him to people, to other saints. one of the most important being the prophet who would be his successor. But then, even bigger than that, I think, is that God also points out that there are no less than 7,000 others in Israel who have never worshipped Baal, who have not betrayed the God of Israel. So it turns out that Elijah isn't nearly as alone as he thought he was. And likewise, we are not alone either, and doing the work of the kingdom links us to each other, to other saints. And being a part of the communion of saints is often what will help us to be carried through those times when we feel so very alone. Being a saint means that God always has something for us to do. And that work connects us to each other, and we are sustained and helped and encouraged. We are held up by the community. And what's more is that in doing that work, we help to create the world that God wants for God's children. It's a double win. Elijah single-handedly worked miracles up against 450 prophets of Baal. He was zealous for God. And then, a very short time later, he asked to die while he laid under a broom tree. Mother Teresa had moments she could describe vivid and full conversations with Christ. And then she also described times of her life, more times of her life, as filled with darkness, loneliness. She went so far as to call it torture. As we celebrate the Festival of All Saints, I hope that you realize that whatever your experience of your relationship with God, I just want you to know that it falls somewhere on the realm and the scale of normal. We look to the saints who have walked before us to see examples of lives lived in faith. And we know that no matter where we are on our own journey, God calls us into God's task. When God says to each one of us, "My children, there's work to be done. It's time to go out and do it." Amen.